Thanks that we have the opportunity today to open your word and to read it together, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that what we experience today is not simply the reading of the Bible, not simply a person standing up and speaking, but we really want an interaction with your Holy Spirit. We want to come to know you, to hear you speak to us, to have your word impressed upon our hearts and in our lives, and we want to draw closer to you. So Lord, as we pause today to open the Bible together, we ask for these things. We pray and ask for your help and your blessing, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This account that Dan has read for us, I think, helps us to answer the question, what does faith look like? What does faith look like? Because faith is one of those difficult things, isn't it? People sometimes talk about a leap of faith, and then they will say something like, a leap in the dark. Or stepping out into the unknown. Are those things true? Is that what this account, the story from the life and ministry of Jesus, teaches us? Well, let's look at it and see what this teaches us about faith, specifically faith in God. So here you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know if you can remember back to 3 Sundays ago, where Jesus went over to the other side of the Lake Galilee. Remember, there was a storm on the way. They just about drowned. They got there. They were rescued from the storm, but they were met by a guy called Legion. Remember him? He's the one full of demonic activity. And Jesus helped him. And then they got back in the lake. I wonder if there was a discussion about who was going to sail this time and what route they would take. They went back across to the other side of Lake Galilee. And when they get back to the other side, where a lot of Jesus' ministry had been taking place, he's met by a crowd, a group of people. They're all waiting for him. We're told that there that when Jesus returned in verse 40, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And out of the crowd comes a guy. He's an important chap called Jairus, is his name. And he's the leader of the local synagogue. He's not involved in the temple as such, but that's the local community, the local meeting place for the Jewish people. It may have been Capernaum. We don't know. We're not told where this took place. But anyway, he's the leader of the synagogue. He's somebody who obviously the society, the community trusts and has confidence in him. He comes to Jesus. He falls at Jesus' feet because his 12-year-old daughter is dying. And he's desperate. And so he comes and falls at Jesus' feet and begs him to come to his house and to heal his daughter. And Jesus responds to that. And he starts to go with him. He starts to move in the crowd, we can imagine, start to move along with him. It's a village. Everybody knew everybody. Everything was everyone's business. And they start to move along with Jesus, and they're all pressing up against him, and as they tag along, and people are bumping into him and touching him, and things are going on, and it's probably a little bit chaotic. But amongst that crowd is a woman, and it's fascinating how Luke tells us this. Jesus is on his way to save the life of a 12-year-old girl, but in that crowd is a woman who has been sick for 12 years. She's been as sick as long as that girl has been alive. And she has some kind of uterine bleeding. We don't know the specific details of it. And she spent a lot of her time, she spent a lot of her money trying to get better, and nothing has worked. And now she's doing it hard because she's used up all of her money, she's used up all of her resources, and nothing has worked for her. But she's heard about Jesus. Mark, in his gospel account, he tells us in chapter 5, verse 27, she had heard about Jesus' healing power, and she had this conversation with herself, which went something like this: if I touch even his garments, I will be healed. That's what she said to herself. That's what she knew about Jesus. And so she reaches out and touches the hem. We believe it's probably one of the tassels Jesus would have been wearing, a rectangular-shaped sort of cloak or coat, and it would have had a tassel with blue and white threads in it on each corner, which was Moses had told the Israelites to do to remind them of God's commandments every time they put it on. And so she reaches out her hand and she touches the edge of his coat, and immediately she senses, she knows her body. She's lived with this condition for 12 years. She knows immediately that she's been healed, that her body is now cured. She feels it in her body. And she experiences something that she has given up hope of ever feeling again and ever experiencing in her life. She knows. And she's happy. But Jesus stops. And he says, you know, who touched me? Now, people maybe thought somebody had hit him or attacked him or kicked him. Maybe somebody kicked him in the shins or something like that. But Jesus isn't meaning that. And they wonder what he's meaning. Even Peter sort of tries to diffuse the situation. He says, Jesus, you know, everybody's kind of banging into you. Why are you asking? You know what's going on here. Why are you making that comment? It's unusual for someone like Peter to be so tactful. But Jesus, of course, isn't referring to a physical touch, is he? Jesus is referring to a faith touch that he has just experienced. And he knows the difference between somebody just elbowing him gently in the ribs or banging into him or standing on his toes. He knows the difference between that and somebody reaching out and touching him with faith. He says that he, in verse 46, he knows this because someone has touched me because I know that power has gone out from me. And then the woman in verse 47, she realizes that she can't hide any longer. She just wanted to blend, obviously, back into the crowd and go on her way and go home and possibly tell her family the good news. But she comes forward trembling and awestruck, and like Jairus did just before, she too falls at Jesus' feet. She falls at his feet, but this time she's not falling and begging. She's falling and with thankfulness and gratefulness. And she falls on her knees before Jesus, and she confesses her saving faith in him. She tells everybody, you know, there's no patient confidentiality here anymore. She tells everybody what has been going on with her. She tells everybody about her condition. She tells everybody about her suffering at the hands of the doctors who've been trying to help her. She tells everybody about the money that she's wasted and the time that she's wasted and her struggles and her feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. But now she's completely and fully healed. And Jesus blesses her in verse 48 with these words: daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And as I said, this is a story that helps us to see, I believe, what faith really is. As we've been looking at these stories of Jesus and the storm, Jesus and the demon-possessed man, and these two stories here about the woman who is sick with the hemorrhaging and the girl who dies, we see Luke is telling us about Jesus' power and Jesus' identity, isn't he? He's telling us who Jesus really is. Jesus is this man who can speak to nature, who can speak to creation and can control creation just with a word from his mouth. He can speak to the spiritual forces and command them and bend them to do his will. And he can speak to sickness and he can heal sickness. And as we'll see next time, he can even control death itself, the final enemy. And in a way, this is an event. This is something that is addressing the question. Remember the question that Jesus asked the disciples as they were in the boat? Remember after he stood up and spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him and they were still. Remember after he did that, he asked the disciples a question. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" Remember that? On the boat, he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" And I think that this story here is a part answer to that question of where is your faith. This is a story that tells us that Jesus is the one who has power over sickness, and that faith in his name brings healing and hope. This is a story that shows us what faith looks like, what healing faith looks like. And so I'd like us to just look at this and think about it and think about what it means for us today. Just want to first of all then talk about the woman and her need. As you would, as you've read this story, it's a difficult story to read, isn't it? Because this is a desperate person, and you encounter a lot of desperate people in the life and ministry of Jesus. She has this disorder, and she has this condition that causes her so much suffering. The condition itself would have caused her pain, likely abdominal pain. It would have caused her embarrassment. It would have restricted her life, her ability to go out and do things. It would have made it harder for her to function normally. Can someone just close? The doors are all open at the back. So for the creche. So she wouldn't have been able to go out and function normally and do her work. She wouldn't have been able to enjoy normal relationships, both with friends and family, but also physical, intimate relationships. It may have impacted on her ability to have children. And it would have even affected her relationship with the faith community, with other believers. We know that under the Old Testament laws, if you go to the book of Leviticus chapter 15, there's a chapter that deals specifically with this kind of thing. And it says that somebody, whether it's a man or a woman, who has some kind of issue, some kind of bodily fluid that's coming out of them, and whether there's laws for regular discharges and then there's laws for irregular discharges. And we're told that when a woman, after 7 days, she goes to the priest and the priest pronounces her clean. Well, this woman never gets to the seventh day. She never gets there. It never happens for her. And what was even worse is that while there was the Jewish laws and rituals about cleanliness and community cleanliness and hygiene and all that, but the Roman world was just straight out mean. If you read someone like Pliny, he was a Roman author and he wrote a book called Natural History. He said that, you know, menstruation, it makes new wine go sour. It makes fruit trees go barren. It makes mirrors go dull. It causes iron to rust. And even beehives die. Now that's sort of helpful information to have, isn't it? It's like it's all the woman's fault. Just blame the woman. Your beehive died? Now let me see. You know, have you got a woman living next door to you? And so this is what she was up against. Not only was there, she would have been found it difficult to participate in the life and faith of the Jewish community, but also just society in general would have had these crazy ideas. And so she would have felt alone. She would have felt untouchable. She would have been doubting her own worth. Kind of sounds like sin, doesn't it? The condition that she has is something that she can't get rid of. And she has been trying for 12 years, and she's been trying all kinds of things and seeing doctors and seeing not doctors. People who say they're doctors but are not, and nobody can help her. And that's kind of like what sin is in your life and my life. It's something that we go and struggle with every day, and it makes us unclean, and we feel that. And what is worse, it's not just unclean in the eyes of the world, it's unclean in the eyes of God. Sin makes us feel guilt. Sin puts shame on us. Sin puts us outside of fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people. And it makes us wonder why we're even here. And so this woman had a deep need. But also you see something of her faith, though, in this story, don't we? You see her faith. You see, this woman, she's heard about Jesus, and she says to herself, if I can just touch him, I will be healed. She hears it. She hears this good news. Jesus is coming back across the lake. Jesus is coming back to the village. Let's go and meet Jesus. And so she acts on that. She goes along with it. She believes that this is something she should do. She believes that this is the right thing to do. And so she goes with the crowd to meet Jesus. And of course, as I've already mentioned, observant Jews, they would have worn these coats. And Jesus, as a rabbi, would have worn one with the tassels hanging on the corners, white threads in the blue. Sometimes there were three blue threads or three white threads to remind them of God's covenant grace to his people. And she comes with her faith, and all she can do is get up and reach out and touch that tassel hanging from the corner of his garment. And she receives his healing salvation. She receives his healing faith. Why? She reaches out with faith and she receives his healing salvation. That really is a picture of faith, isn't it? I was watching a doco recently about a disaster. I think it was a volcanic disaster, Mount St. Helens. And you've probably read or seen comments like this before, where somebody's caught in this terrible situation and they believe that their life is going to end, and there's nothing they can do. They're completely helpless. There's nowhere to escape. There's no hope of rescue. What do? This person says, you know, I don't even believe in God, but I prayed. I prayed. They were crying out. Well, this woman, she comes with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knows that not only is this the only thing she can do, this is the right thing to do. And it's a reminder for you and I what faith is, isn't it? You don't have to get to that point where you have tried everything else, where you've visited every doctor, where you've tried every religion or every kind of idea or every kind of ideology that is out there. You're invited to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and reach out to him. Not just because he's the only thing left, as it was for this woman, but also because he is the one who can bring salvation to you and I. And so her faith in Christ is this powerful and liberating and saving act that she does. She simply reaches out. And then you see the gracious response, don't you, of Jesus in this story. Obviously, this woman, she didn't want people really knowing about what was going on. It was a private thing for her. It was a personal struggle that she had been going through. And kind of at this point of the story, sometimes we feel a little bit sorry for this lady, don't we? It's like, Jesus, just let it go. You could just leave her. You know why she's touched you. You know why she's come up and snuck in from behind in the crowd. And you know why she doesn't want people to know. You know why she hasn't come up to you and begged you like Jairus has done and said, Lord, come and help me because I've got this terrible medical condition that I can't get rid of. You know why she's done that. It's sort of like when you're trying to pass a message, you know, maybe you're a husband or a wife and you're trying to tell somebody not to talk about something in a setting because you know it's going to embarrass someone, and they go, why shouldn't I talk about that? And that kick under the table sort of experience. But Jesus stops and asks loudly, you know, who touched me? And even Peter thinks he's being a little bit over the top. But why is Jesus doing that? Well, Jesus wants this woman to come forward, doesn't he? And he wants her to come and confess with her mouth her faith. He wants her to step forward and to tell everybody what has happened for her. To receive his blessing. To have his affirmation upon her. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's giving the opportunity for her to come into a vital relationship with him, and also for her to testify of God's grace, and to give others hope, and to tell others about what God has done for her. Jesus is recognizing what he's telling us here is that there is no such thing as a private kind of faith where you say, yeah, I said a little prayer one night in my bed, and that was 30 years ago, but I've never been to a church or I've never told anybody else that. Now, there's all kinds of circumstances and situations where things like that may or may not happen. But you see what Jesus is trying to do here, isn't he? He wants her to give glory to God by telling her story. And she's able to do that, isn't she? It's amazing. She's this very private person. She's this lady with this embarrassing condition. And then it says she came in trembling in verse 47 and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him, and how she had been instantly healed. You see the difference that her saving interaction with Jesus, her faith-based touch of Jesus, had made to her life now. She was no longer embarrassed to talk about this. It was like, yes, that's where I was at. That was my life before. But now it has changed. Now I am whole. For 12 years I've been sick. For 12 years I've been wasting my money and getting no help, and no one can tell me and no one can do anything about it. But now I am healed. Now I am whole. And so she is now connects with Jesus, and she gives others hope. And she has now becomes a signpost, doesn't she, of faith for others. It's kind of like, you know, when you get books. So somebody gave me a book recently, and one of the things I often do, I'll turn over the book and have a look at on the back, and they have endorsements or what you call blurbs or things like that, and you see who are the names of the people who have recommended this book. And so here you have this woman, she's coming, and she recommends Jesus. She points to Jesus in faith. And how does Jesus address her? One amazing and beautiful sentence, isn't it? He says to her in verse 48, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Somebody points out that this is the only time in Luke's gospel that anybody ever gets called that, daughter. What is Jesus doing? He's telling her she is now part of his family. You're my child now. You're not some unknown woman just who was hiding in the crowd and hoping not to be noticed. You're my child. You're my daughter. You and I have a special relationship now. Before she was an outsider, before she was this woman with the incurable condition, now she is a child of God. She's also a woman of faith. Notice how Jesus commends her faith. He says, "Your faith has healed you." Some translations say, "Your faith has saved you," because actually that's what it says. Your faith has saved you. Previously, she spent all of her time and energy and money trying to get help. Now she's a woman of faith. Now she's a woman who is directly connected to God's power. And she lives in the realm of faith, not in the realm of fear. She has moved from fear to faith. Have you? And then notice just finally Jesus' words to her. Probably heard it a bit in the news if you've been watching any of the TV reports and the services that have been going on. This word, Salem, the Arabic word, Salem, which is the Hebrew word, Shalom, which is the English word, peace. He says to her, go in peace. That's all she wants to hear, isn't it? That's all anybody wants to hear. Go in peace. God's peace be upon you. God is at peace with you. And you are now at peace with God. There is now no law of commandment standing between you and God. There is now no condemnation upon you. There is only God's peace. Before she hunted for help and fretted about her future, now God himself has pronounced his everlasting shalom upon her. She has physical peace, but she has, more importantly, she has spiritual peace. And folks, you can't buy that in a shop. You can't get it in a magazine or on a website. That is only something that comes to you from God himself by his Spirit through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she has that peace. What about you today? Is there any way in which you can identify with this woman? Is there things in your life that you've been trying and trying and trying, and you can't get any release from them? You can't get any peace from them? You can't get any help? And you don't know where else to go and what else to do? I would encourage you to follow the example of this woman of faith, this daughter of God, who came and received God's peace upon her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we crave your peace. We long to know that you are okay with us and that it is well with our souls. Lord, we pray that you would grant us your grace and favor, that we by faith would be like this woman who come to you. And if we're not people of lots of words or big demonstrations or things like that, all we need is to be like her and reach out a hand, but it's a hand of faith, and touch you. And so, Lord God, we pray that every one of us here would be people who have reached out a hand of faith and have heard your response to us, which is, daughter, son, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Lord, we want that peace, and we thank you for the gift of eternal peace you give us through Jesus our Lord. For we pray in his name. Amen.